So it is Thursday, so we're going to start with some parsha like we always do. There is a guy, I don't know if you can call him a guy, there's a Talmudic character who appears twice in Shas. I say Talmudic character, not a Tana, not an Amora, a Talmudic character. He appears twice in Shas, and he's fairly well known because one of his drushos is taught in almost every single Jewish elementary school. Who am I talking about? So, Todos Ish Romi. Todos Ish Romi. He says only two things in all of Shas. He appears twice in all of Shas. In Pesach and Daf Nun Gimel, he teaches us as follows. Zod Darash Todos Ish Romi. Ma ro Hanani Mishal Vazariah Shemasra Asmal Kedush Hashem. What did Hanani Mishal Vazariah see that they decided to be Moser themselves Al Kiddush Hashem, the Kivshana Eish, to jump into the Kivshana Eish? Nasu Kal V'chomer Ba'atzman. They made a Kal V'chomer Mitzvar De'im, from the Tzvar De'im. For those who follow David Bashefkin on Twitter, he's been making a lot of jokes about how all they teach in elementary school is about Tzvardeya, and like almost no other makos. So they have a Kal V'chomer about Tzvar De'im. Ma Tzvar De'im She'im Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem K'sivru V'vo V'ol V'secha U'B'tanarech U'B'msharusecha. Just like Tzvardim, who are not Mitzvah al Kiddush Hashem, and yet there were frogs on his head, frogs in his bed, loosely translated, right? Frogs everywhere. So, Amosai Misharos Mitzvah Yisaitzel Tanur, when do you have the kneading bowls right next to the Tanur? Avi Yomer, Bishal Shat Tanur Cham. That's when the Tanur is hot. And the Tzvardim were still going to the Tanurim when the Tanurim were hot. So, Anu Shem Mitzvah al Kiddush Hashem, Alachas Kamam Kama. We, who are Mitzuval, because it's Hashem, said Hanani Mishal V'Azariah at that fateful moment, Alachas Kama V'Kama, we need to be willing to go into Kivshana Eish for Kiddush Hashem. So what is lesser known is that the Gemara only mentions this drasha as a way of proving whether Todos was a Gavar Rabba or a Bala Gropin. The Gemara says, who is this guy Todos? Is he someone who is a Gavar Rabba? Is he someone who's worthwhile listening to? Is he someone who's a Tamil Chacham? Or is he just Stam, a strong guy who's intimidating and therefore he has the ability to influence people by virtue of his political clout or by virtue of his physical strength? So the reason the Gemara asks that question is because Todos had made another major statement in the previous Amud. The previous Amud tells us that Todos Yishromi Hiniges B'nei Romi Lechol Gedim Mekulasin B'Leilei Pesachim, that he started a minag that he told the B'nei Romi that they should eat Gedim Mekulasin on Leilei Pesachim, on the night of Pesach. Gedim Mekulasin is the way you would roast a goat when you're making a Karban Pesach, which is a very controversial thing to do. We don't do any roasted anything on the night of the Seder out of a chashash, and it might look like a Karban Pesach. We don't have any roasted meat, we don't even have roasted chicken, we don't have roasted anything. A whole discussion in Poskim about pot roast, where it's sitting in its own juices even. And we're so makbid about not having roasted things, roasted meat on the night of the Seder. But Todos Yishromi told them that they should have Gediyah Mekulasin, the right kind of animal, set up the right way, on a spit, roasted on the night of the Seder. Shalchulos, they said to him, they sent a message to him, Il Mole Todos Ata, if you weren't who you are, Kazarnu Alecha Nidui, we would put you in Nidui, we would put you in Cherim. Shata Machlis Shal Kachem Echutz. Because you're telling people to eat kachim b'chutz. You're telling people to eat kachim outside of the Azara. How terrible. So, or outside of Yerushalayim. So kachim salgadaitach. What, you mean to say that he was really being machal to kachim? Did he ever tell them that they should be makdish the animal? Did he ever tell them that they should be, yeah, they should give it a shame korban? No. Ele'emer korov lahachil yisrael kachim b'chutz. But it's close. It's a little too close. You know, there were some that didn't like the notion of writing on a box kosher l'pesach. Right, because they thought that people would think that you're saying that it's Le Pesach, that it's for a Korban Pesach. We don't want to be makdish anything as a Korban Pesach. So they got very upset at this Todos. But how did they get upset? And they said Il Mole Todos Ata, if not for the fact that you were Todos, Kazar Olecha Nidui. But now that he, what does it mean, if not for the fact that you were Todos? Who's Todos? Who is he? So that's where the Gemara raised the question, well, why were they afraid to put him in Nidoi? Why wouldn't they put him in Cherim? What was the problem? Was he just so intimidating and so strong and so powerful that putting him in Cherim would have been very bad for them? Or was he such a big Talmud Chacham that they felt that they couldn't start up with him because he was such a Gavra Rabba. So in that context, the Gemara says, oh, he must have been a Gavra Rabba because he's the one that taught us the famous drasha about Hanani Mishal Vazaria and the Svardim about the Kal V'chomer that Hanani Mishal Vazaria made. That's the Gemara. What's the connection between those two statements of Todos? Meaning, when you have an Agavata Gemara like that, which it is, it's somewhat of an Agavata Gemara, typically there is some link between the different elements of the Gemara. How does one reflect on the other? How does the Mesiris Nefesh of the Tzvardeim that reflected itself in the Mesiris Nefesh of Hanani Mishal V'Azaria relate at all to the idea that Todos decided that everyone should eat Kediyah Maklasin? Why would the fact that he once said a nice Dvar Torah, that Svardim, he once said a nice Gematria or something, so all of a sudden that must mean that his intentions when it came to Karban Pesach were pure and pristine and that they can't start off with him? What is the connection? Furthermore, there is a pasuk in this week's Parsha whose first half doesn't seem to align with its second half. The pasuk says, L'mantia Torah Hashem Beficha, Ki V'yad Chazaka Otziacha Hashem Mitzrayim. You should have Torah Hashem Beficha. You should learn Torah. Why? Why should you learn Torah? Because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand. Well, what does learning Torah have to do with Mitzrayim? I would think, you know why you should learn Torah? Because Hashem created the world. And when He created the world, the Torah was the blueprint for creation of the world. So it's a really worthwhile endeavor to learn Torah because you have the ability to access that which gives you the key to unlock all the secrets in this world, to unlock all of the nature of this world and what this world was built on. Learn Torah because Hashem created the world using the Torah as His blueprint. Or maybe, you know why you should learn Torah? Because Hashem commanded at Har Sinai you're supposed to learn Torah. The same reason you do everything. Whenever anyone asks, why do we do this mitzvah? The answer, we know the real answer to that question every single time. I always tell Chassan when I do Chazan classes that my wife told me when she started doing Kala classes, she asked me, how much time do I spend with Chassanim explaining why we observe Hilchos Nida? So I said, really a solid 25 to 30 seconds or so. And she said, well, the Kala, you got to spend like an hour or two describing why we observe Hilchos Nida. So I said, the Gemara Nida discusses why we observe Hilchos Nida. Ne'emam Ratorah Nida L'Shiva, because we may Sharagil, Bava Katzma, whatever, the Gemara gives an explanation. But that's not the real reason. Why do we observe Hilchos Nida? The same reason we observe Hilchos Kashrus, and Hilchos Shatnis, and Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos everything, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so at Har Sinai. I would have written this pasuk L'mantia, Torah Hashem Beficha, because so said Hashem at Har Sinai, that you're supposed to learn Torah. Let's keep it. What in the world is the connection between Yitzias Mitzrayim? In general, it's always difficult to understand why we sometimes celebrate the God who took us out of Egypt and we sometimes celebrate the God who created the world, right? Meaning, well, where exactly do we connect Mitzrayim to mitzvos and where don't we? There are some mitzvos that are very, very strongly connected to Mitzrayim. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim, eating matzah, eating maror, right? All of those things, you understand very well, a very strong connection. Others are a little bit less of a connection. Somehow Kiddush, you have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush is clearly Zecha L'Maisa Bereishis, right? And yet we also have to mention Tefillin somehow relates to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? There are a lot of mitzvahs that somehow just like tap into Yitzias Mitzrayim on some level or another, and it's not clear exactly why. But specifically over here, when it comes to Talmud Torah, what's the idea? So Rabbi Lam, in a drasha, quoted a beautiful and fairly famous insight from the Bala Tanya. The Bala Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, whose yahrzeit was this week, if I'm not mistaken, unless every Lubavitcher I saw this week lied to me, his yahrzeit was this week. So last week? I don't know, the time is a blur. But the Bala Tanya apparently writes that there are two forms of ahava that exist in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us both forms of love, and we're expected to reciprocate in the right circumstances with each type of love. First, there's love that's represented by water. And that's a reference to the consistent and reassuring flow of love, like a steady stream. It's a love like a parent has for a child, where no matter what happens, the child knows that their parent still loves them. No matter what the kid does, no matter how, but there's just like this inherent love that a parent has for a child. It's just not going to wane. It's just not going to go away. I was nachmav with someone this morning, a man who died at the age of 98 years old, and he had a grandson who was in my shir in DRS years ago. The grandson said a beautiful hesped at the Levaya, and the kid, when he was in 11th grade, was giving his parents and you know, any religious role model in his life a run for their money. You know, he wasn't, it wasn't pashut, let's put it that way. It wasn't super pashut. And the grandfather called me up. I think to this day, the only time I got a phone call from a grandparent of a Talmud. I would speak to the father and mother all the time also, but the grandfather called me up, and I told them this story this morning at the Shiva house. I had never told them that before because I thought they would get angry at him, but now that he's no longer here, so I told them this story. The grandfather called me up, and why did he call? Because he knew that his grandson was in my shiur. He knew that his grandson could sometimes be challenging, and he wanted to remind me to love his grandson. He wanted to remind me to show him a lot of love and how much kochos he has and how, you know, his father, meaning the middle generation, is such a chashuv Talmud Chacham or whatever, which he is, and, you know, all of those things. So he wanted to remind me to love his grandchild. There's just something about love. A grandparent asks for a grandchild, a father asks for a son. It's not going to be, you know, it's not like an assessment where, like, you know, you wake up every day and say, should I love the kid? Let's, you know, that's like a set. Let's do a performance review. And let's see if, you know, if the kid still deserves the love. It doesn't work like that. It's just like it's an automatic. So Hashem shows us that kind of love by giving us oxygen. He gives us our basic sustenance. And, like, he doesn't pull that from us. No matter what we're doing, no matter, even as we're sinning, as we're doing Averos, you know, we're about to speak Lashon Hara, and he's giving us the breath with which to speak that Lashon Hara. Like, he's not holding anything back from us. Hashem created the world and put Teva into place and continues to allow Teva to operate each and every day. And that Teva is a never-ending stream of the Ribbono Shel Olam's love. And that's represented by what? That's the love that's associated with Mayim. But then, there is a love that's represented by fire. It's a love that flickers and it warms and it burns. It's eccentric, it's exciting, it's a little bit scary. Its intensity can vary, burning bright at one moment and then barely glowing at all at the next moment. Hashem shows us that kind of love in times of distress. There are times where continuing as normal and just having everything go as it normally goes would just lead us into this terrible and vast abyss. So Hashem gives us great miracles. Yetzias Mitzrayim is like this burning love. The founding of the State of Israel, a burning love. Natural laws are suspended for this burning love to be shown, and sometimes that love wanes to almost nothing. Where what preceded the founding of the State of Israel, what preceded Yetzias Mitzrayim, was a sense of the waning of that love, or just the barely noticeable embers that were that have some heat to them at all, barely any heat to them at all, and that's the love that's represented by fire. So there's this one track of consistent, straight, flowing love, and another track of what goes up and down, and is much more volatile. So we have to reciprocate with both forms of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right after reading Ava Rabba or Ava Solom, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, we read Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. Because if we just read about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, we now have to remind ourselves that we have to reciprocate with the love that we have for Him. And our love for Hashem has to represent both fire and water. So first, we serve Hashem, we have to be consistent. We have to be flowing like water. We daven 3 times a day, each and every day. We never take off a day from observing kashrus or shatnas or taras hamishpacha or whatever, Shabbos, we never take off a day from observing taryag mitzvot, right? Shasalos hasei and ramach hasei. We never take off a day from learning Torah. There's a consistency that's an absolute must in being a from Jew. And the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that provides us with sustenance each and every day deserves Meya Brachos each and every day from each and every one of us for all those brachos that He gives to us each and every day. But then serving Hashem also has to come with a certain sense of fire. It also has to come with a certain sense of age. The Baal HaTanya argues that we can never experience the excitement, the fire of Avodas Hashem with Shmiras Mitzvahs alone. Baal HaTanya has a few chapters in the Tanya where he emphasizes the unique importance of Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is qualitatively different in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the other 612 mitzvot. It's just a unique, unique connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ko dvarai ke'esh nu'um Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, the words of Torah, the word of God is like esh. There has to be a passion. There has to be something that can elevate us to a different place, to a different realm. And it's important to notice the connection between the two types of love. Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the fire of Torah, he came from water. Kimin amayim mishisihu. Right, he was drawn from the water. That's his very name, is Moshe Rabbeinu. He represents water, and yet he's the one that gave us the Eish of Torah. That's the old joke Rabbi Nathan Farber always likes to say, that if you look at the old movie called The Ten Commandments with what's his name? Charlton Heston, I think was Moses. That it didn't translate well. They said, and she called him Moses, for she drew him from the water, which makes a lot more sense in Hebrew. You know, they called him Moshe. Like, shouldn't they have called him Drew? My Moses, right? So, but Moshe is kimin amayim. He's named after the water. That's his name. He arrived at the point of being able to show us kolos ubrakim and the energy of Har Sinai and that Har Sinai experience by first dedicating over 80 years of his life to serving Hashem, often in total solitude. And even the Torah itself, which is certainly fire, kodvarei ke'esh nu Hashem, is also compared to water. Water sustains life. Torah sustains Jewish life. The Torah experience of fire can only happen if you first see to it that you have the Torah experience of water. And each week we celebrate Shabbos as a zecher l'maisa bereishis, the consistent weekly celebration of the God of Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who put Teva in place and kept it that way forever. That there are these rules of Teva that were made in Shesh Yimei Bereishis and celebrated on Shabbos that have been going since the beginning of time. That's the Hashem, that's the Ahava of Mayim that Hashem shows us. That's the constant love and support. The Jewish calendar is dotted, though, with Yom Tovim, with bursts of Ahavas Hashem, of Ahavas Hashem Osanu, of Hashem's love for us throughout the calendar. A reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and they're all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, or something related to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they continue to show the love that's represented by fire. So that's Shabbos versus Yom Tov. So Rav Sobolovsky once suggested that the connection between the two statements of Todos Yishromi was that they both relate to fire. They both have something about a relationship with fire. He wanted us to eat basar tzli esh, just like the Korban Pesach. So Chazal had to determine, they had to discern whether his idea was l'shem shemayim, or is he just a troublemaker? So the Chacham looked at his comment about the Tzvardeya, and by extension, the comment about Chanani Yishol Vazaria jumping into the Eish, and what that reflects is that this Todos Yishromi understood that at extraordinary moments, the message of Eish can't be lost in us, and we have to be willing to serve Hashem with Eish. So they wanted to know, who was this Todos Yishromi? Why is he suggesting something out of the ordinary? Two reasons why someone would suggest something out of the ordinary, or someone would suggest doing something that we haven't done before. One is because he's just a troublemaker, and he's trying to chadash asam in the Torah, and he's trying to change things. And the other is because he feels that now is a moment, that there's something that needs to be done at this moment, right now, to express a higher sense of Ahavas Hashem. And given that now is a moment, now we have to do it. And what did they see? They saw that he's the one that understood that Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria were able to take advantage of a moment based on the limud from Tzvardeya, which also relates directly to Eish, directly to that kind of passion and that kind of fire. The Torah tells us to learn Torah because beyond Chazaka, Tziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. The Torah, to observe the rest of the mitzvahs, the other 612 mitzvahs, because Hashem created the world, because Hashem gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, whatever. But Ki Biyod Chazak HaTziach HaShem Mitzrayim is not describing the elements of Talmud Torah that's necessarily the Gisa B'Yom V'Layla, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, a little bit, you know, it's not describing the Mishnah Yomi or Daf Yomi kind of limud, right? It's not describing that which you do every single day. That's the Torah of water. The Pasuk is describing a different form of Talmud Torah, the Torah of the Seder night, where we teach our children with energy and with passion. We even make a separate Birchas HaTorah on the Seder night, because it's an entirely different, qualitatively different kind of Talmud Torah. That's what Salvation explained. That's why we say Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas, and Torah Le'am Yisrael, Baruch Hu. He says that's a Birchas HaTorah that you're saying that in that phrase. It's a Birchas HaTorah because you're about to engage in Talmud Torah of an entirely different quality, a Talmud Torah that relates very much to Eish. And that's the Talmud Torah. You know, you ever You ever like you have your normal siddur. Baruch Hashem, hopefully you keep to them. You know, your normal morning seder, your normal for the guys in tzmicha, your normal afternoon seder, or hopefully some of the guys even not in tzmicha, your normal afternoon seder, your night seder. You have your typical siddur. You ever like get caught up in something at night and seder ends and like I just can't leave it. This is not a good stopping point. I just need to I need to take a deep dive here. You know, it's late at night or something, and like you just can't put the sefer away at this point. Like you have to see the rest of the tshuva. I remember when I was in Landers, Rav Sachs Shlita went over to one of the Talmidim. I overheard this conversation. I'm still a little shaken by it. He went over to one of the Talmidim and he said, "Did you take a look at the Kuntrasei Shirim that I told you guys to look at last night?" He said to the guy. Kuntrasei Shirim is what's his name? Rav Gustman, right? So he has these long pieces in Kuntrasei Shirim. So the guy said, yeah, I tried, you know, I got through some of it, you know, which is a normal response if you ever opened up a Kuntrasei Shirim. So Sack said, what do you mean? What do you mean some of it? Why don't you read the whole thing? He said, well, it's really long. So he said, what time did you go to sleep last night? So the guy said, I don't know, like 12? Sachs like, so why don't you just stay up longer? You have to get through the whole thing, no? He said, yeah, I went to sleep at 2:30, and I was here in time for Shacharis this morning. Like, I mean, it was a guy who could handle it, obviously, because the guy walked away and he wasn't like, that's it, I'm done with this religion. So it was a guy who could handle that kind of like very direct and very strong and very high expectation kind of musr. But there should be those moments where it's just like, well, this is just too, I'm too into it right now. And you know, I like to live my life within certain boundaries and within certain, but there are times where you just have to say, forget the rules. Forget what, you know, whether I'm gonna be tired tomorrow or not. Forget what this is. It. I gotta do this right now, because right now I'm experiencing the Ahava of Eish. Right now I'm experiencing a certain fire in my Yiddishkeit. And you can't just let that fire go away. You can't just say, no, I'm a water kind of Jew. I'm not a fire kind of Jew. A Jew is a water kind of Jew always, and that's a given. But we're also a fire kind of Jew sometimes, and we have to be. We have to express it. That's the vart I think that they say from a salvation about Pursumi Nisa, right? That why is it that for Pursumi Nisa you give up all your money in order to do mitzvahs of Pursumi Nisa? Normally there are rules. Hamivazis, Ali Yavazis, Yasu Mikhosh, Takana Susha, Gamarang Suvasi. You're not allowed to be Mivazis, Yasu Mikhosh. You're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money for tzedakah. So why do those rules go away for Pursume Nisa? Because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do when he made a nace for us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Teva. He set up rules of Ava of Mayim. He set up rules of Ava Rabba. That he has this Ava Rabba for us. But then something happened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget the rules of Teva. I'm going to do a nace. There's going to be an Avas Olam. There's going to be an Avas Rabba, not just an Avas Olam. I'm going to do a nace. I'm going to do something that the moment calls for, that's going to be more. And when we commemorate that, we have to throw the rule book out. We have to say the rules of what our limitations are, the way that we serve Hashem, that goes away at a moment like that. And you're all in, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're commemorating how HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw away his rule book. Okay.